And open up to Romans chapter 2. We're going to take us a while to get there. Have some things to share first, but that's the first place we will be going. So you'll be ready. Let's ask God's blessing as we share this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that we have our own personal copy of the Word of God that we can ponder and meditate, we can learn. Father, give us faith and strength, grace to overcome. Help us, Lord, to believe what Your Word says. To show that we believe it by how we live it. So often, many things that I hear and see in my own life and in others' lives reveal a lack of faith, a lack of belief. Father, I pray that You'd challenge us this morning and stir us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Life is a test. We all know this. And I'm sure that we've all heard the old adage about the rancher that was in the hospital and his foreman came in and he asked him how everything's going. Well, he said, everything's fine, except old Blue died. Oh, Blue died? How'd old Blue die? Well, I think it was eating too much of that burnt horse flesh. Well, where did he get a hold of burnt horse flesh? Well, you know, when the barn burned down. The barn burned down? How'd the barn burn down? Well, it caught from the house. Life is a test. Sometimes we feel a little bit like that old rancher, don't we? In the hospital, everything's falling apart down around his ears. Life is one of those tests that you're being tested whether you want to be tested or not. You know, if somebody came up here and said, we would like to take a blood test, I could say, no thank you, I don't want my blood tested. If they say, well, we're going to have a push-up test, I could say, no thank you, I don't want to do push-ups. I don't care to prove anything, I don't want to be tested. But life is not that type of a test. When you were born, you were in it. And you won't get out of it until you die. And you're being tested, and there's no way to say, hold it, time out, I'm not playing. You know, as we used to do when you were a kid and you were losing. I'm not playing, I'm out of here. You can't do that. You're being tested, and the results of this test will determine your eternal destiny. If you pass, you will be accepted into God's eternal kingdom. If you fail, you will be punished for rejecting God's will and program. You are in a test. You are being tested regardless of whether you want to be tested. Now, there's many things in life like this. Take a baby bird. He jumps out of the nest. He's either going to fly or he's going to splat. I mean, he has no choice. Once you jump out of the nest, you've got to do something. Survival. We've got to do something to survive. There's a test there. A child and a parent. You know, we have a baby. That child is going to grow up. It has to eat. It has to grow. It has to learn to work. It has to learn to survive. We're going to watch that child. We're going to work with that child. That child is going to go to school. The spelling test is going to come. The math test is going to come, whether you like it or not. And that's a lot. That's pretty much similar to what we're going to talk about this morning. Marriage is a test. When you get married, you're going to be tested. It's a test. Are you going to endure? Are you going to have a good marriage or a bad marriage? Are you going to be a good husband or a bad husband or wife? Employment. Once you take a job, you're being tested. Are you going to perform? Are you going to live up to their expectations? Are you going to be employed for a long time or fired? So there's a lot of things in life that are like this test. But this test is the most colossal and monumental test you will ever be involved in. This test is based on an impartial evaluation of your daily choices, actions, motives, and values. In Romans 2, in chapter 2, verse 1, It says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Now, the very fact that we have enough sense and knowledge and comprehension to judge others reveals the fact that we are capable of judgment ourselves. We are competent to judge because we have a moral conscience, and whenever we pass judgment, all we're revealing is we have enough competence to be judged, because we are in no better position. We are going to be judged also. And the same basic problems in these other people's life is the same basic problem in our life. But listen to what it says about the judgment. We are sure that God's judgment is according to truth. "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." So in other words, this person that they're speaking to, which is the moralist and somewhat directed towards the Jew, while they're judging others, they don't realize that they're failing their own test. That happens a lot. We're going to talk about that somewhat. I am being tested. And while I'm focused on somebody else who's being tested, oftentimes I'm failing my own test. "Who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another." Listen to this. "In that day, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, "Every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." 1 Corinthians 4:5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." Colossians 3:25, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." So this test is based on an impartial evaluation of your daily choices, motives, actions, values, words, etc. It's records are being kept daily. Now, there's a number of things that I want to bring out concerning this test. Our test changes according to our own actions, mistakes, and choices. For instance, the Garden of Eden. They were under a test in the Garden of Eden. By failing the initial test and eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were banned from the garden and put out into a world, a cursed earth, and a fallen race. Did they escape their test? No. Now their test took on new dimensions. They were still being tested, but now the test took on different dimensions. It was actually a harder test. But they still were being tested, and that test was still going to determine their eternal destiny. You can go out and rebel and go out and drink alcohol and wreck your car and end up in a wheelchair. Did you escape your test? No, you just added new dimensions to your test. You're still being tested. Now you're being tested from the wheelchair. Now you've got to overcome If you want to be saved, you've got to repent and overcome and live godly from the wheelchair. Whereas before, you could have done it not in the wheelchair. You go out and ruin your marriage and get a divorce and get marry someone else or whatever. You're not escaping the fact that you're being tested. Now if you want to be saved, you've got to go from where you're at, which may be a more difficult situation. You may be having children from another marriage. You may be having to pass children back and forth. You may have all kinds of tangles and challenges in life. But you're still required now to get up and walk in the faith once delivered and walk the narrow way and live for God and complete your course. It's just taken on a little different dimension. When you're single, you're being tested. When you get married, now you're tested as a married person. You have children, now you're tested as a parent. You know, Israel, they had a theocracy. They wanted a king. So they got a king. Now they're a monarchy. They're still being tested. Now God's testing them, living under a king. Before, they were living under God and the prophets and the priests and so forth. Now, they're living under a king. They didn't escape their test. Their test took on different dimensions. We are under a democracy. We have freedom to gather and freedom to worship here in America. If we lose this and we come under communism or Islamic government or something else, and our liberties are taken away, we don't escape being tested. Our test will take on different dimensions. It may be a more challenging, life-threatening type of test, but we'll still be tested just the same. So this test is inescapable. You go commit a crime and get sent to jail. You want to go to heaven? You got to go to heaven now. You got to repent and live for God from the jail cell. If you want to be saved, you've got to pass this test. And you have until you die to get things straightened out and make sure you pass your test. Because if you fail your test, it'll be failed for all eternity. After reading Pilgrim's Progress as a junior in high school, a thought came to me. It may not seem very deep to you, but it was unique and special to me. God's will is unique for each life. Yet Christ's life is the same example for all. Therefore, strive to live like Christ in whatever circumstance God places you, and you will fulfill God's will for you. No matter what dimension comes into your life, what dynamics are produced by your mistakes or someone else's mistakes, whether you're a prince or a pauper, whether you were born in a drunkard's home or a preacher's home, whether you've got the dynamics of marriage or single life, it doesn't matter. You've got to live like Christ in whatever circumstance God places you in. If you live in a communist nation, you've got to be Christ-like. If you're in a nation like ours, you have to be Christ-like. So this test takes on different dimensions, but ultimately, you're being tested. Are you going to live like Christ? You have a drunkard for a husband or a tyrant for a husband, or you have a godly husband. Regardless, you as a wife, you've got a test that you've got to complete. Husband, the same goes for you. Child with the parents and so forth. Number four, God has ordained an authority structure as part of your test. You must reckon with it. It's not a sideline. It's part of the test. In 1 Peter 2:13, turn there if you would. In 1 Peter 2:13 it says, "Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." In other words, For this is thankworthy. If a man, with a mindfulness of his test in the eyes of God, realizing that whatever is happening here, I'm taking a test. To sit back and rail on that boss and that dirty old no good hound, I'm failing my test at that moment. Do you realize that? He may be everything I thought he was, but I'm being tested. I'm running a race. I have to pass my test. And while I'm focusing on him and how sorry he is, I'm failing my test. You realize that? So he's saying here, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, it's thankworthy. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, like what? Like the servant? Like the people under the government? Like Christ? Ye wives, be subjection to your own husbands. It goes on down. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And over in chapter 3, verse 14, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. Okay? You are taking a test. And you young ladies, you go out and marry some godless, rebellious individual, it's going to put many new dimensions to your test. But it doesn't relieve you from the fact that you have a test. Christ came into the hands of an unjust court. He was being judged by wicked, evil men. But that's not what he was focused on. He had a test. He had a race to run. He was passing his test. It didn't matter what was happening on the outside, what they were doing. He didn't stop and pass judgment. He had authority to do so, but he had a test. He had a course to run, and therefore, he was focused on passing his test. While thinking it is your job to criticize your parents, you're failing your test. While feeling it is your responsibility to whittle down your husband and keep him in line, you're failing your test. While roasting the preacher and his poor preaching, you're failing your test. While applying the sermon or Word of God to everybody else, you could be failing your own test. Number 5. The dynamic of relationships is a major part of this test. You cannot avoid them. We talked about the vertical relationship. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. The horizontal relationship. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Human relations are directly involved in your test. Matthew 5:23, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hast aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Making sure your brother doesn't get too proud, you might be failing your own test. Giving your sister that needed rebuke, are you failing your own test? You see, there are times when we have responsibilities to rebuke, to reprove, and so forth. But foremost in our minds needs to be the question, is this passing or failing my test? Is stepping out here and making an appeal to my husband or saying something to my brother or rebuking, is this a part of passing my test? Or is this a moment of failing my test? Very important. Because when all is said and done, I'm going to stand face to face with God Almighty. And I have either passed my test or I have failed my test. And that should be the main thing that matters. Amen? And if I am in a tough situation and I feel like this is not fair and I want to exert my feelings, I need to hold back and say, hold it. I'm being tested. I've got to make sure I pass my test. This is not as important as passing my test. Making sure they know how I feel, making sure my opinion gets known, is not as important as me passing my test. Number 6. Jesus' life, teaching, death, resurrection is placed in front of you as part of your test. What are you going to do with it? It's placed in front of every human being. You've got to grapple with the fact that He came. He said what He said. He did what He did. He died and rose again. He's claiming to be Lord. God says that He is Lord. God said He's going to be the judge. And He's the one with whom we have to do. What are you going to do with it? I remember in Luke 2:35, Simeon said to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Jesus came. He passed His test, but in doing so, He added many things to our test. Mary, Gabriel shows up and tells her this. She couldn't say, I don't want to do that. I She couldn't say, well, let's just eliminate this from the test. No, that was part of the test. That was part of her test. Having Christ as her child, having Him grow up, having that sword pierce through her own soul also, it was all part of her test. Jesus passed His test. He was tested. Him passing His test is set as an example for us. When He was tempted by Satan, He was passing His test. Hebrews 5:7 says, "Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared, though He were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." He became perfect. He became complete in passing His test. Now, He's the Lord of your test. And as Lord of your test, Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He's the Lord of your test. He's the administrator of your test. He's the one that will grade your test. But He's also there to help you pass your test. His life and His teachings are the key to you passing or failing your test. He brought us the key. He showed us how. He demonstrated it for us. And He taught us the needed knowledge to pass our test. He is the key to you passing your test. Number 7, the Bible is placed in front of you as part of your test. There's a lot of things this book says. I can willingly be ignorant of it, but I'll fail my test. I can try to apply it to somewhere else, but I could fail my test doing that. Hebrews 4:11, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." This word applies to you. If you meditate in it, it's going to reveal the thoughts and intents of your heart. It's a mirror. And you look into it, you're going to see what you really are. You're going to face the truth about yourself. It's a key to passing your test. It's a part of your test. It applies to you. And while you feel justified in criticizing and judging your neighbor and applying it to them, are you failing your test? Number 8. Following truth adds new dimensions to your testing. Matthew 13:21 talks about the seed sown on stony ground. It says, "Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." When you start following this book and applying this book and adhering to it with all your heart, tribulation and persecution is going to arise because of this. This is part of the test. It's all a part of the test. It's not some supplement. It's part of it. And it's going to add new dimensions to your test. You can't run from it like this person did. You can't fall away. As the heat gets turned up, as persecution comes in, as times get hard because of the Word, because of adhering to the Word, people reject you, people misunderstand you, people who don't want to obey that portion of the Word reject you and criticize you. Life becomes harder because of the Word. You got to stop and say, this is part of the test. It's part of the test. I can't run from this. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." John 15:19, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." 1 Peter 1:6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Number 9, satanic opposition adds more challenges to your test. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So, not only does the fact that we're a fallen people, Adam and Eve added a lot to the test. Now we have old age and death and gray hair and pain and suffering and a cursed earth. But we also have the challenges that when we follow the Word of God, the world's going to hate us. But not only the world, the devil's going to hate you too. You've got the devil on your... The devil's walking around like a roaring lion trying to devour you. You know, I may be outside and the hay mower's broke. Okay? So, not only do I have to mow hay, not only do the cows need to be fed, but now I've got to fix a mower. Well, I start fixing that mower, and not only do I have the cows that need fed, the hay that needs mowed, the mower that needs fixed, I've got the sun beating down on my head at 110 degrees. Okay? Now, not only do I have the cows that need fed, the hay that needs mowed, the mower that needs fixed, the sun beating down, but now a fly is buzzing right in my face. Do you follow? You see what I'm saying? It's the same way with your test. Not only do you have the world hating you, you've got the devil walking around trying to devour you. You've got the curse. You live on a cursed earth. You've got old age creeping up. You've got to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. You've got relationship challenges. You live with other sinners who are also fallen and have the same problems, who also have flies buzzing around them as well. And are, you know, do you realize that the test becomes complex, does it not? But we got to pass it. Luke 22:31, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know, that's the last thing I need when I'm trying to get the hay mowed and the mower fixed and the sun's hot and the fly. I don't need Satan walking around wanting to sift me as wheat. But it's reality, folks. Okay? In Revelation 21, we find out that the devil was kicked out of heaven, that he is full of wrath, he knows his time is short, and he wants to make war against the saints of God, those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. He's coming to make war on you. And it doesn't bother him at all that the cows need fed, the hay needs mowed, the mower is broke, the sun's hot, the flies are buzzing. He doesn't care about that. He's coming to make war on you anyways. Now, God in all these things is watching. The choices you make, the motives, the values, the attitudes, the words. He's testing your pride and your humility. He's watching for rebellion or submission, love for truth or love for the world, gratitude or ingratitude, honesty or dishonesty, faithfulness or unfaithfulness, grace and mercy or selfishness and unmercifulness, seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness or seeking our own self-preservation, propagating God's ways or propagating our own opinions, building up the church or sowing seeds of division and discord. You can't say, "Time out! I need a break. I'm not playing. I don't want to be tested. I don't want to have to perform." You can't say that. You're on stage. The light is on you. And you're being tested. So where's our hope? Where's the joy? Well, don't lose heart. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous." He's not asking more of you than you can deliver. He's not putting on you more than you can bear. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Not that you can just totally run and get away from the test, but you can bear it. You can pass the test. 2 Peter 1:3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." You have, through the grace of God, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of His life and His teachings, you have the power to pass your test. You can do it. It's not a hopeless cause. We read Hebrews 4:14. It says, "We have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tested, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Romans 8:13. "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die." You failed your test. "But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." You'll pass your test. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We have the Holy Spirit leading us on through this test. We have the throne of grace that we can come and cry out to God for help. We have the example of Jesus Christ. We have the knowledge of Him, His teachings. It says here, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We have the earnest of that inheritance. We have the foretaste, the seal, the down payment of that eternal life, that inheritance. God has given us this earnest as a hope, as a foretaste of glory, as an assurance that He's willing to carry us on through to the passing of our test, if we are willing to follow on through. If we're willing to go on through, He's there and willing to take us on through. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. Our loving Heavenly Father has big plans for us. What if I asked Samuel and Amos and a number of these little fellas, what if I called you up to the front? Okay? And I wanted to put you through a test. I started asking you a bunch of personal questions about yourself. Right in front of everybody. I started asking you all kinds of things. And really testing you. You'd want to say, that's none of your business. You'd want to say, I don't want to participate. You'd want to say, excuse me, I don't want to be tested. Or maybe you'd want to say, this is really unkind. Maybe you'd want to think, Brother Mark is really cruel and heartless. Why is he putting me through this? But what if then I told you that I was just, the test, I was just looking for a young man, that there was $1 million in that case. And here's a earnest foretaste. What if I was just saying, I just want to find an honest young man to give $1 million to? Would that change your attitude about being tested? Would that give you a whole new outlook on me calling you up here and interrogating you and asking you all these questions in front of everybody? Then would you think that Brother Mark is just cruel, heartless, and unkind? If I said, I'm just looking for a young man because I want to give $1 million away. What would you think then? Wow. I'm privileged that I get to be a part of the test. Would that cross your mind? Maybe you'd say, wow, Brother Mark is so kind and loving that he would give me an opportunity to receive $1 million. Well, how does $1 million compare with eternal life in God's kingdom? If you knew that the prize was $1 million, would you be glad I called you up to the front? Would you be glad I started asking you lots of questions? If you knew what the prize was, you'd be glad to answer every question. It wouldn't matter to you what everybody thought. It wouldn't matter how personal it was. If you knew it was $1 million was on the other end of it, right? I wouldn't seem cruel in the slightest. Why? Because you knew what the reward was. Turn to Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh. Overcometh what? The greatest test of your life. That's what. A test that is incredible in its dimensions and dynamics. A test that will take everything you have to pass. If Jesus had to cry out with strong crying and tears to pass His test, I guarantee you might have to. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great wall, great and tall, or high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. And the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But listen to this. But they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Bible says, He that overcometh, he will not blot out his name out of that book. The way you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life is by passing your test. That is God's rule book, the rule book of God's people. When He puts His Spirit within you, the Spirit of adoption, your name is written down. And if you pass your test, it will not be blotted out. It remains there. And when that day comes and the great white throne is set and the judgment is called forth, if your name's in that book, it's because you passed your test. Now, what if this test demands pain, self-denial, suffering, a cross? What if it causes you to be in poverty, to be despised and rejected of men? What if it causes you to serve under hard bondage, hard labor? What if it causes you to be separated, torn apart from family and friend? Maybe your husband will be hauled off to jail. Maybe your wife and children will be taken away. Maybe your whole family will be killed. Maybe you'll be exiled and your lands confiscated. We don't know. All that has happened to someone. It's been a part of a test somewhere. Now, in the light of the reward, in the light of the purpose behind all this, is God cruel and unkind, heartless? In light of the fact that the test is passable, There's grace available. That the administrator of the test had to take it himself. That he's the one who you have to deal with. He understands. He has all grace and power available to see you through it. In light of the fact that God Himself is watching over your performance and is looking for the precious fruit of the earth, He's looking for those who will inherit an eternal glorious kingdom. In light of that, are you glad you're taking the test? Regardless of what it brings on you? Are you willing to die in the test? Let's stand together. It's easy to lose sight of the big picture, isn't it? In the day-by-day struggle of life, it's easy to lose sight of the big picture. But we dare not do so. We can't afford to lose sight. The most important thing in your life is that you pass your test. Part of you passing your test is helping others pass their test. Parents with children, pastors with people, you with your neighbor. Part of your test is being a light and salt. It's all part of the test. But you need to daily, in your activities, what you're doing, you need to be asking yourself, okay, if what I'm doing right now, is this passing or is this failing? Is this part of passing my test or is this going to lead me to failing my test? You need to be aware of that. It is eternally crucial. Any thoughts from the brothers before we go to prayer? Amen.
And when you talk about the pain and whatnot of passing the test, it's got so many different analogies. I remember back in the days of playing sports, the things that we would subject ourselves to become a part of that team.
That's right. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, and when your teacher says your grade is dropping, it means if you continue this way, you're going to fail. In other words, you've got to put forth more effort than you've been putting forth. When you fall down in the race and you get back up, you got to run a little faster to get back up where you would have been. And if your grade's dropping, you got to work a little harder to get back up where it should be. And that should be our spirit. When we find out that we've failed, to run a little faster next time.
I think part of the problem is that we were under the impression that there was an easier test that we could be given and still get the same prize.
Yes. And the fact that there are those out there claiming to have an easier test and still getting the same prize. It has a tendency to rob us and deflate us of our vision and our understanding of the big picture when they claim to be getting the same prize and they're not doing what we're doing, and it's like something's unfair here. But that's all a part of the test too, isn't it? as there were false prophets among the people, there should be false prophets among you, who privately should bring in damnable heresies. So, that's part of the test.
Can you imagine what it would do?